This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley, and I thank you for making this program part of your day, as you do every day, Monday through Friday, at the same time. And I'm hoping that you're telling your friends and family about the show, and I hope you find it interesting enough to spread the word for me, and I appreciate that. Well, we saw some interesting movements again today, and as we've been talking about volatility, we're seeing it in September, and we should see it continue into October. That's the 2 months of the year that we have the most volatility in historical terms. And this September has not really changed that scenario. It's following that path. It's still not severe volatility, but it's certainly more volatility than we've seen in recent months. The Dow surged today, best 5 days in the last 5 weeks. So the S&P advanced, NASDAQ rose, but the NASDAQ is kind of the one that's the weakest. And that's not supposed to be. Usually the NASDAQ leads, and the NASDAQ led all this year up until a few weeks ago. I wonder why the change. Well, we do know why. I've been talking about the FANG stocks. Anyway, we are two-thirds through September, and fall arrives tomorrow. So, of course, fall for us here living in Southern California, you don't really notice it. It's not fall-like. I worked 9 years on the East Coast in New York City area, and yeah, you guys get real fall. We don't down here in Southern California. It's I love fall. Even in Southern California, at least the nights get cooler, but the days just slowly get less hot. There's not going to be any changes, but we are watching changes in the market. Will we see a market downturn? There was a story posted today that said that we were. Another story on MarketWatch.com. The headline read, Fed has to start considering the risk of a recession. And it was written by a former Fed governor, Larry Mayer. So the Fed has to start considering the risk of another recession? Well, they're not so far, that's for sure. Now, we talked a great deal yesterday about the crash in 1929. The last couple of days we talked about that. And whether anyone could use historical facts to predict what the next crash or recession might occur. And I just don't think it's not that clear. It's not really possible. No matter how smart or experienced you are, it's very, very difficult to pinpoint a start date for a recession or a market meltdown. Maybe in broad strokes you can see it. Broad strokes means that within a few months, maybe you can see it coming, maybe 6 months, but that's about as close as you can get usually. And that's not even accurate all the time. Now, here's an interesting financial fact. Household net worth in the second quarter climbed $2.1 trillion, driven mostly by the stock market and house prices. And this is a natural result of the two circumstances, growth of the economy, and the real estate sector has been doing extremely well up until we see some cracks this summer. But still, values are still going up. And that has driven the household prices up, and so those two things have driven wealth. Okay? So that's what we're seeing. But the wealth is not for everybody. You do know that, right? We'll talk about that. But first, let's find out what questions our listeners have on their mind. Here's a call that came in earlier on our Anytime Listener line, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is John from New York. I have a question for Steve or Justin. I'm looking to take a position in Sally Beauty, ticker symbol SBH. Is now a good time to enter? If not, what would be a good entry point? Thank you.
Okay, we happen to own SBH in a couple of our managed accounts. It's Sally Beauty Holdings, and it's already made a very good run from $14 in August to now $18.38 here today, up again today, almost 2%. Operates 4,963 beauty supply stores, offering hair care products, and that kind of thing. And we bought it because of the valuations. Okay, we bought it because it made $1.79 in 2017. It's going to make $2.12 this year, 18% higher, and about the same amount next year. So it's going to slow down its earnings. It's an $18 stock. Okay, and it's going to make $2.11. So you can see how in the 5-year range is 6 to 23 on the PE, and it's at 8 right now. So even though it's moved up from $14 to $18, and remember, that's 4 points. What's 4 points on $14? Okay, 25, 30% already move up. See the problem? It's already moved up 30%. And you're thinking about buying it now, even though it's still inexpensive. You still have to say that. I just think you might be a little late to game, and I think it would be better if it ever pulled back to around $16.50. That would probably be a much better place. $16.50, $17 a share, that'd be a better place to pick it up. But I think you might be a little late. Okay? Good call. Thank you. SBH, Sally Beauty Holdings. Okay, here's the good news. The combination of household net worth and nonprofit net worth rose $2 trillion in the second quarter. The Federal Reserve made that announcement today. And we found this story on MarketWatch.com, by the way. The $2 trillion boost represents a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 2.1% to a total of almost $107 trillion. Okay? And this is just the last quarter. And it was driven, of course, by the stock market gains and value in real estate. That was a big driver of it. So if you're an investor and you own a home, you should be doing pretty okay. Of course, that's a general comment. I mean, it's not, there are millions of variables that could make your situation very different. And it's important to stress again that today's Fed report doesn't represent the experience for everybody, typical households, because 50% of all households don't own any stocks. A third of all households don't own their house. They rent. So they didn't benefit by those two appreciated assets. So there's quite a few people that did not benefit from this wealth effect. So bear that in mind. It's not for everybody, but it is nice to know for those of you who have their 401ks and IRAs, you guys should have done pretty well, but not everybody. And also those who own the house, but not everywhere either, because some houses in some parts of the country don't move hardly at all, value-wise. Now, so although they had some other interesting stats. For instance, I thought it was interesting. Household debt grew only 2.9%. That's low, by the way. Government debt actually fell 0.4%. Corporations, their balance sheets, cash on their balance sheets fell a little bit from 4.35 trillion to 4.38 trillion. So they paid a little bit of their debt off, but decreasing their cash level. It's hard to know. There's a lot of numbers. I know I'm throwing out a lot of numbers, and maybe that's not a good thing. Maybe you won't remember. But the big picture, the economy is still doing very well, and it's still boosting assets. Okay, it's still doing that. That will end at sometime down the road, but not anytime soon. And at the same time, corporate America and now the federal government, after the passage of tax cuts and spending hikes, are increasingly adding debt. We know that. Corporate America and federal government adding debt. How much? How much would it eventually affect the economy? We don't know. Just don't know. Okay, Justin and I always stress on InvestTalk, investors need to remember that financial variables and therefore market variations are complex. You just don't know. It's a big picture that you're trying to put together. Very big. So you need to learn more and more and more. And it's fascinating, I think. And I'm hoping that you'll take advantage of our experience and guidance in this way. Because we've been around and doing it a long time. I've been doing it, I hate to tell you how many years. Anyways, so we do have a lot of experience with that. So I encourage you to reach out to us through a message at investtalk.com or our call, KPP Financial Office in Dana Point. We are ready to help you. We always are. We can offer InvestTalk strategies and can be both more secure or more profitable, aggressive, non-aggressive. All it is an effort to help you. This is InvestTalk. I'm Steve Peasley, and I invite you to take our free risk questionnaire at investtalk.com. Give us a risk score, how much risky you gives you a number, and will tell us how much risk you're comfortable with, and then we can talk about it. Justin and I can use the results, and we'll get back to you with the information. Okay. We're ready to take first call. Our Wednesday show is off and running, and we are taking your questions. Give us a call at 888-99-CHART.
Thanks for listening to Invest Talk. It's hard to believe, but September is already two-thirds over. Here's a constructive idea. If you can find a few minutes to invest in learning how to improve your portfolio's performance, head over to investtalk.com. Read about one of the many strategic investing programs offered to clients of KPP Financial. And while you're there, be sure to take the Riskalyze Risk Questionnaire. For now, Steve's here, the phone lines are open, and he's taking your questions. 888-99-CHART.
Okay, the market was up today. The Dow's up 251 points. The Nasdaq up 78, and the S&P up 23. So we're seeing some increase in volatility. That's all it is. Today I'm going to plan on talking about a lot of statistics. I'm going to want to talk about the yield curve. I want to talk about the LEI report, leading economic indicator. And then I also want to talk about the Shiller PE. Do you know what the Shiller PE ratio is? Do you know what it is? But first, we're going to talk about trade war's nuclear option. It could be bad for Apple and Amazon. That's what an article here on, I think it's MarketWatch was saying. And what's the nuclear option for China? Remember, there were, President Trump increased tariffs, $200 billion. China came back, $60 billion. Trump says he's going to add some more tariffs. So we're having a tit-for-tat kind of thing. Well, China, there's a worldwide supply chain, right? And a lot of it goes through China because we've set it up that way. We let it be set up that way over the years. So China, because it's the least expensive place to make things and import raw materials and export finished or partially finished products and then finished somewhere else, whatever. But they could restrict sales of material, equipment, and parts. Okay, that would really disrupt the U.S. manufacturer supply chain. Who would it hurt the most? Companies like Apple, where most of the iPhones are made in China. Amazon, Walmart, where a lot of products are made or shipped through their China. So, I don't think we should worry too much about this trade war situation because I just don't think it's getting out of hand, but it could. I'm just not worried about it yet. This is InvestTalk, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley, and heading into this break, I want to remind you that InvestTalk is heard live every day, 4 to 5 Pacific time on radio and also live on internet streaming through investtalk.com. Please tell your friends, family, appreciate that. Tune in. I want you to tune in. And now the lines are open, 888-99-CHART.
The KPP Premium Newsletter packs a lot of market news, process explanations, and even stock ideas into a concise summary every Friday. You can subscribe at investtalk.com. It's only $9 per month. That's if you subscribe now and beat the coming October price increase. You're listening to Invest Talk Have you got a question for Steve? He's here and the lines are open. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Mark in San Jose. How you doing, Mark?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, listen, AMD was hovering around $30-$31, and Stiefel just upgraded it to $38. What's your thinking? What's your thought?
I think it's already made its run. It ran from $10 back in April to $31. Okay, that's 200. You know, how many percent do you think it's going to go up from there? It's not. I think it's already made its run.
It's got that Ryzen chip that is a hell of a chip, and I mean Intel is selling 48. This one probably can go all the way to 38. I mean, Stiefel is a big company who does a lot of finance advisory and stuff like that.
I know who they are. Anytime, okay, first of all, experts are always wrong. And I don't exclude myself. I'm not excluding myself. But experts are always wrong. They always upgrade to buy when they want to push the stock market higher and higher and higher. Everything's goodbye. I'm just telling you, this has already made a huge run. The P/E ratio going forward is almost, 35-40. And everybody already knows that. Everybody already knows it. So they pushed up all the stock price. Could it go up to 38? Of course it could. But I think if you're trying to enter now, you're very late to the party, and the chances are good that you're too late to the party. Because you might go up to 35 and then 38, and then it could just tank on you because it's overvalued. It depends on, how long do you think the economy's...
overvalued stock. Look at Tesla and Amazon. I mean, look at those.
Oh, I know.
They're way overpriced, but they're still going up.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Then buy it if you think it's just going to keep going to the sky. Go ahead. But I'm just telling you, a lot of people...
I want to get your 10 cents in there, too. Thank you. That's all I wanted. Thanks a lot.
Okay, appreciate the call. I'm just telling you, the tech sector is full of stocks that are very, very pricey. When they will correct, I don't know. Will they correct? Yes. You know, how hard will they get hit? I don't know. But I've seen this story too many times over the years. Too many times. We are too pricey on our tech stocks. Their earnings are growing, but not to justify many of the prices in a lot of tech stocks. Now, mind you, we just recently bought a tech company. There's other tech stocks that are not that pricey. There are that I'm willing to buy. But they're at the other end of the P.E. scale. I can guarantee you that. The one we bought, P.E. is around under 5. Still a tech stock. So it depends on what you want to. I don't like overpaying for stocks. I don't recommend it. Let's talk to Grant in Philadelphia. How you doing, Grant?
Good. How you doing, Steve?
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
You hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So my question is, my current employer, the 401k options, you guys always talk about it. I'm 22 years old, and I'm starting to, set aside a good portion of my salary for retirement to get started as early as possible. I was looking through the list of funds that they offer, and the best one is VPMAX. And I was wondering what your thoughts were on this fund being probably the most growth-heavy fund possible. Since I'm only 22 years old, I want my money to be as aggressively growth as possible because I can't touch it for the next 40-something years. So I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that as the best option at my current employer.
I think it's a good option. It's Vanguard Prime Cap Admiral Fund. Vanguard is a very low-cost fund. They've done very well over the years. And the only issue I have with you, Grant, is you're 22 and you haven't experienced the bad part, a bad time of the market. And I want to just warn you that this will fall at some point, and you just keep investing in it. Don't worry about it. Don't even think about it. Just keep putting money in as it falls. Try to remember that when it does.
So
this is a very good fund.
7% contribution, I'm contributing 7% of my salary, and then my employer matches 10% of my salary, and then up to 4% of whatever I contribute. So, and I'm doing a Roth 401k instead of a traditional 401k. And it's 100% of my employer's contribution, plus my contribution is going into this. So would you say that's a good start for someone my age?
Yeah. Yes, that is a very good start. If you keep doing that, you'll have a ton of money by the time you're 50, 60 years old. And again, don't okay. worry about it when it falls, because it will fall. Goes up and down.
I can't touch the money, so I have no emotional connection to it. You know what I mean? I just got to keep plugging money into it, even when the market's going as bad as possible. And then just one
question. That's
great. I have about 100 shares of VKTX that I bought around $1.27 this time last year, and it's about $20 right now.
I'm gonna have to take you after the. I gotta take you after break. I'm up against a hard break, so I'll take you after the break. Tomorrow on Invest Talk, Costco Wholesale Corporation has been a steady climber for years. Will it continue to do so? We'll take a look at that. I'm Steve Peasley, and I'm ready to take your questions. 888-99-CHART.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. You can join our Invest Talk Insiders and gain access to our library of webinars, like Seeing the Cycles, How to Recognize and Harness the Power of Market Cycles. Hidden in the continuous stream of numbers are cyclical occurrences, which help us anticipate both opportunity and risk. It's a free benefit for our InvestTalk listeners. Just click on the InvestTalk tab on InvestTalk.com.
This is Invest Talk. Please make sure you subscribe to the Invest Talk podcast at iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Then listen, rate, and review. Question: have you thought about asking Steve Peasley for a no-cost and no-obligation portfolio review? You should. It's easy. Steve can set up a telephone conversation or a Skype consultation. Okay, you've got finance and investment questions, and Steve will have unbiased answers. Call now, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's go back to Grant. Grant, you want to talk about Viking Therapeutics?
Okay. Yeah, so September, I purchased about half of 1% worth of my portfolio as a spec stock, and now it has grown to about 5% of my portfolio, and I'm not sure what to do with the shares that I have. They just got a price target increase to $48, and like I said, like, this is my spec stock, so it's not that much money. Like, it didn't start out as that much of my portfolio, but now it has, you know, it's almost a 20 bagger, which I never thought would happen at any point in my life. So what do I do?
Okay, so this is how you treat these. Congratulations, and pat yourself on the back, but make sure you manage this properly. And how you would manage this is, as it gets bigger and bigger, you cut back your position. You don't cut out, you just cut back. So I would, if it was me, I'd probably cut it back by 50% right now and only allow it be 2.5% of my portfolio. Because these are the kind of stocks, not making any money, it's a story stock, it has a great story. Announced, you know, positive results from phase 2 study, you know, about diabetes drugs. Well, they got to now go through phase 3. They got, and many of these drugs fail at phase 3. So the first time that they, any hint that it might not do what it's supposed to be doing, the stock will crash. So I would, and if it does get through phase 3 and it's very good stock, this stock will be 1,000% higher. So that's what you're dealing with. It's either going to go crash or be huge. Well, you've already made your money, so why not play with their money and make your, you've already made a big profit. So cut it in half, put that profit in your pocket, and then ride the rest. That's what I would do. Okay, Grant, appreciate the call. Thank you. VKTX is a simple, Viking Therapeutics. Let's go to Kairos in San Jose. How you doing?
Hey, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. I have a very quick question on Micron Technology, MU. Is it a good time to get in?
Okay, let's look at Micron Technology, Everybody's in love with tech these days. That kind of worried me a little bit. Micron has had a pullback, which is nice. Micron Technology makes DRAM and flash memory chips. It is a big company, big, $53 billion. I don't know what's happening there, but it seems like they were having some technical difficulties. Anyways, it's growing 30, 40% sales. It was a year ago, it was growing 70, 80% sales. So it's still growing very fast. Earnings are going to go down 7% this year, and then are down again next year. So another 13%. So it looks like, you know, it's not expensive. They're going to make $9.65 next year, but they made $11. They're going to make $11 this year. So it's a $46 stock. So that still means it's very inexpensive. Now, so it looks like it found a lot of support right around 40. The stock is worth at least about 60. So you can play the bounce because I think it's going to bounce. I'm a little concerned that why are earnings going down and sales still growing so much? Why that is happening, I would like to know why. Don't have a lot of debt. Have a great return on equity. The numbers look pretty decent except for earnings per share are going down. I'm not sure why that is. They said they're going to repurchase a lot of their own shares. That will help them. So I think this probably is a good place to buy it. And I'm just concerned about the earnings next year. It's because when you're looking at a 4 PE, 3 or 4 PE, it's a pretty good value. And you should get a bounce up. MU, Micron Technology. See how different that is from the stock before that we had AMD, where their PE was 50, 60? This PE is 4 or 5. See, now, you don't go just by PE ratios. I understand that. But when you have a 4 or 5 PE with a growth rate of 30, 40% in sales, that's a pretty reasonable relationship. Okay? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Now, I want to talk about statistics today. I don't want to bore you to death with them, but I want to talk about some of the statistics. You know, all these economic numbers come out every week. Some weeks have just a load of them, and some weeks lighter. Always not the same amount. But, you know, there's important statistics you should be aware of. And one of them is the yield curve. What is the yield curve? Okay, this is something that all of us people who keep track of the stock market, economists, everybody, watches. And we're looking at the yield of the 10-year treasury versus the yield of the 2-year treasury. And the yield of a 10-year treasury today is 3.079%. And the 2-year is 2.8. So the difference in that the two rates, 3 to 2.8, there's a difference of 0.263. That's the difference between the long-term average of the 10-year treasury, the long-term yield of the 10-year treasury, and then the short-term yield of the 2-year treasury. So that, we're looking at the curve of those, and you follow those yields, the 2 and 10-year long, and a yield curve is when they start migrating toward each other. And then we look for inversions of the yield curve. And what that means is when the 2-year yield is higher than the 10-year, that is an inversion of the yield curve. It's inverted. Because it normally the 10-year would pay more money, you know, in interest to people who buy the 10-year bonds. They pay higher, 3.07% today. And usually you get less for a 2-year. Today it's 2.8. Now, so we watch this and see if it's squeezing. These two are getting closer and closer together, and they are, because last year at that time, the 10-year was 3% and the 2-year was 2.2. So last year at this time, the spread between those two was about 0.75%. Now, they're about 0.25%, meaning the 2-year and 10-year are getting closer and closer together. Whenever you have an inversion where the 2-year is higher than the 10-year, every time that's ever happened in history, you are either moving into recession or already in a recession. so you can see why we watch it. It's starting to squeeze. It's been squeezing this whole last year. Squeeze, 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 slowly squeeze, squeeze, squeeze. And if the Fed raises short-term rates, which it plans on doing, won't that push up the 2-year yield, getting closer to the 10-year yield? Or will the 10-year yield go up too? See, yeah, that's what you're looking at, the relationship and whether it inverts. But of course, if it's already inverted, it might be too late. The market's already reacted poorly and fallen. But so you just watch it. You got to watch. It's getting closer. That makes me worried. I'm worried. And that's just one factor why I'm worried. Not worried today, but I'm worried for late next year. You're listening to Invest Talk. It could be middle next year. I don't know. Remember, no one knows exactly. And you're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley, and I want to take a moment to thank you, to all the dedicated listeners who have been with me for some time. And if you would like to meet, we could do so, do portfolio reviews during my next visit to San Jose. I'm taking appointments on October 3rd. There are no more appointments available really for that day. So what we're going to have to do is take your name and send figure out another day or, something. We'll do something. I'll be back there as usual. If I have interest, I'll come back even sooner. So if you don't live anywhere in Northern California and you still want to do it, we can do it. I can do it, by phone, Skype. There's various things I can do. And the good news for Invest Talk listeners in Southern California or anywhere in the country, you can reap the benefits of my no-cost, no-obligation portfolio reviews. You can, anywhere. So get started. Send me a message through investtalk.com. Just use the portfolio review link or call me at KPP Financial Office in Dana Point, California. I can set up a telephone conversation or a Skype. I can do any of that stuff. And yes, I'm very confident that I can use my 30 years of experience, 43 years of experience, I hate to say that, to help improve your performance. I really can. So reach out if you want. Okay, the phone lines are open, and we are taking your calls live at 888-99-CHART.
This is InvestTalk, made possible by KPP Financial, where each Friday, subscribers to the KPP Premium newsletter receive a concise and highly informative summary of the week's financial and investment news. It's sent directly to their inbox. It really does give you a week that was roundup in a quick read. It also offers a look ahead and various process and term explanations that will be interesting to every investor. So you should be thinking about subscribing. The cost now through September is only $9 per month. And if you act now, you'll stay ahead of the coming October price increase. Remember, you'll get targeted value formatted for fast consumption when you become a KPP Premium newsletter subscriber at investtalk.com. The InvestTalk radio and podcast continues now. The phone lines are open, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, guys, this is Alias out in Corpus Christi, Texas. I am calling to find out what are the advantages from day trading compared to, let's say, you bought a stock and you go about a week and you sell it. Is there not the same amount of tax that you would get off of a day trade than compared to what you would be taxed for a trade for less than a year? Thank you, guys. Look forward to listening to the answer on the show.
Okay, you're talking about day trading versus swing trading. Day trading usually, day trading is always, you're in the position at the beginning of the day, and by the end of the day, you're out of the position. You buy the stock in the morning, you sell it in the afternoon. Okay, that's day trading. Swing trading, you buy the stock and it might be a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, but it's short term, usually not more than maybe 4 weeks. And that's called swing trading, okay? Both are extremely difficult to be successful at. Now, I'll warn you, you will be successful. You'll have your winners, but you will have probably more losers than winners, or you will have bigger losers and then winners. Maybe more winners than losers, but the loss will be bigger. Very common. So you get this false sense of success because, gee, I made three day trades today. Two of them I made money on. I'm two-thirds, yay. But you end up net negative, okay? Because and it's all about controlling your emotions, which is extremely difficult when you're dealing with real money. I love it when people say, tell me how they've been. Well, I've been doing it on paper, and I've been doing very well. That's way different than trying to do it with your own real money. Way different. Because when you do it on paper, you're not, emotions are not involved at all. You're just doing, okay, I'll just let it go. You don't worry about it. Fear and greed drive you when you're really doing your own money. So it doesn't really work, paper trading. It does not. And I'll warn you, most day traders go broke. Most day traders go broke. I can't say that about swing traders because I don't know. Okay? What is a Shiller P.E. ratio? You hear me talk about P.E. ratios all the time. Okay? And the P.E. ratio I'm talking about usually is based on next year's estimates earnings per share into today's stock price. So I'm looking at a forward P.E. What will the P.E. be next year with if the earnings come through like they say they're going to come through? Many times they don't come through like they say. That could be a bogus, but that's the estimate. But that's the only thing we have. You also get a trailing PE, which means the real earnings for the last 12 months into the price. But that's kind of worthless as you as an investor. Okay, it's worthless because it's already known. The price is already built in. Everything's done. So what is the Shiller PE? The Shiller PE is vastly different. It's still a P.E. ratio of the S&P 500, but what it does, it takes the last 10 years of earnings for the S&P 500 companies and averages them. Now, it does more than that, but I'm trying to make it simple. And it averages them and tells you what the average P.E. for the last 10 years' earnings. What it's trying to do is encompass recessions and expansions of the economy and smooth out those earnings of the whole market and divide it into the price of the market. So you get a Shiller PE. Right now, the Shiller PE is like around 33, something like that. 33? Well, is that good, bad? 33.3%. There it is. Well, the long-term historical mean is 16.9. When's the last time it was at 33? Well, it was in 1929. It was at 33. And in 2000, it was 44 or so. 2000, the dot-com. Remember, all those dot-coms didn't make any money for years. None of them made money ever. So you can see why that's an issue. So now it's at 33, like it was in 1929. Remember we're making some comparisons? Looks high to me. Can it go higher? Of course, it went up to 43 in 1999. We still got about 10 minutes left, everybody. So let's talk about finance. Give me a call, 888-99-CHART.
On the next InvestTalk, Costco Wholesale Corporation has been a steady climber for years, but there could now be a bright red warning flag. Steve will break down the story tomorrow. But now, Steve's here, ready with answers, and he's waiting for your calls. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Dinesh from Kansas City. I have a question about Tech Data, ticker symbol TECD. I recently got a position after it dropped significantly after the quarterly results. I personally did not see anything alarming in the results, so I was just curious on what your thoughts are. Love your show. Thank you.
Okay, this is Tech Data, TECD, distributes peripheral systems, networking software, products through 27 logistics centers to $2.8 billion company. The stock price is $75 a share. They're going to make $9.77 this year. That's up 7% from last year. That's the estimate. And then $10.56 next year. That's another, 8% growth. And $10.56 on a $75 stock means a P.E. ratio of 7 to 8. and the five-year range is 8 to 16. Return on equity is a little light for a tech company at 14%, and that's an issue. I don't like that. It should be higher. And debt is not too bad, but they're carrying some debt, and I don't like that for tech companies that are, you know, a mid-cap, small mid-cap area. And the problem I see, though, is sales are falling. Sales growth is falling. The growth is shrinking. It's still growing, but it went from 40% 4 quarters ago to 10% the most recent quarter. And that's why the stock fell from 107 down to 75. Sales growth. People were worried about it. Now, it's still very inexpensive at this price. It's inexpensive. So you might get a bounce back up to the, you know, mid-80s, high 80s. I think that's where it might go back from 75. But I don't, you know, if they don't turn around their sales growth and get it growing again faster, the stock is not going to go anywhere. These growth stocks don't grow. Don't grow if the sales growth slows down. They will stop. Okay? That's all important. The growth of their sales and earnings. All important. Okay? Okay. Did we talk enough about the Shiller PE? Do you understand what the Shiller PE is and where it stands? Now, how about the leading economic indicators? That report came out today for August. Leading economic indicators are put out by the Conference Board. Okay, the leading economic indicator was up 0.4% to a number of 111. Usually, don't talk about what numbers they are, but it's at 111.2. And that follows a 0.7% growth in July and a 0.5% growth in June. Now, the leading economic indicators is composed of 10 components. And I won't go over all 10 because it's a little much. But I just want you to know that the last time this was this high, okay, was back in 2006, okay? And it peaked there was in March at 102. So notice, remember that the recession didn't hit to 2008. And the LEI peaked in early 2006. Okay, so the market continued to go even after this it's already peaked months ago. Okay, and right now it hasn't peaked, it hasn't stopped peaking, we're still going up. We're just getting to a pretty high number. But again, this is the leading economic indicators. There's also lagging economic indicators. You do not want to concern yourself with lagging economic indicators. You want to concern yourself with leading economic indicators and learn what they are. See, part of your job as manager of money is understanding economics. Not just the PE ratios, not just the sales growth and margins and return on equity numbers, but also the economy in general, what's going on. Because as the economy grows and shrinks, so do profits for corporations, therefore so do stock prices. So you have to pay attention to the stock prices and to the economy and to all this stuff. It gets pretty, you know, complex, but it's learnable. You can learn it. That's all the time we have for today, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley, and we put another show to bed here, driven by your calls and your questions. It's pretty fun taking your questions. I like it live on the show. But I remind you that you are welcome to leave questions on our Anytime Listener line, day or night, 888-99-CHART. And please come back tomorrow. Have a good evening.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is President and Justin Klein, Chief Executive Officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.